Welcome to the Mindset Mile podcast, the show that'll leave you empowered to take action towards becoming the turned up version of your already awesome self. I'm your host, Aisha Zaza, and I'm so glad you're here. Let's go. Hey friend, welcome back to another episode of the Mindset Mile podcast. I'm so excited for today's conversation because I am with my friend, Jenny the Nutritionist. She was my very first interview on the podcast. And that episode, I need to go back, Jenny, and check the downloads on that episode, but it was off the Richter scale because everybody was like so into the information that you share. And I'm really happy to have you back on, especially now because I have stepped into my macros journey at the start of this year. And I've been sharing about it more naturally on social media. So I've been getting all these questions and I've been answering them to the best of my ability, but the people really do want to hear from you. So Jenny, I'm going to let you introduce yourself and tell us what you do and who you are.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me again. So I am Jenny, or Jenny the Nutritionist, and I am a nutrition coach for ladies who lift weights and want to look like they lift weights, who want to build muscle, decrease body fat, and really understand nutrition and learn how their body works and create their nutrition routine so it all runs on autopilot. So that's what I do and who I work with.
I love it. Okay. And I want to just dive right in. And I actually, when we were together a couple weeks ago, I should actually give the people a little bit of a backstory. Jenny's in Bali. So it's 4 o'clock here in California. And for Jenny, it is 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. So for one, I think that's so cool that we are able to do this across the globe. Yes. But when we were together a couple weeks ago, when you were out in California, I had posted that we were going to be doing an episode soon, and I asked my audience if they had any specific questions. So I've got a mix of questions from my audience and just in general, what I feel like people are always asking me, and I'm sure they're asking you. So I want to just start with Macros 101. Like, let's give a really quick introduction for the person that's listening to this that's absolutely sick of hearing the word macros without understanding what that actually means. So what are macros and how does one figure out what their macro targets should be?
Yeah. So macros, you've actually probably have heard about, but maybe you just haven't put the two and two together. So macros are what calories are made up of. So if you double click down on calories, food breaks down into these categories of protein, carbohydrates, and fat. So those are the three macro sources. So protein, you might think of meats and fish. Those are great sources of protein. For carbohydrates, you might think of rice and potatoes. And then for fats, you might think of olive oil or mixed nuts. So macros are really a type of food. And then most food has a primary source of macros, like steak, for example, is mainly going to be a protein, but there is overlap. So steak will also have some fat in it. So it's not just one food, it's just one macro. There's typically an overlap to some degree. And they are, I feel like, the most effective and efficient way to change your body composition. So to change your body composition, to build muscle or decrease body fat or to fuel yourself, it really comes down to the quantity of food or calories. And while, yes, the quality of food is also important, the main driver is going to be the amount of food. So I could say, hey, fuel yourself and, you know, you really need 2,000 calories. Well, you could have that in Skittles, right? And you could get that whole entire 2,000 calories from Skittles. But that's probably not going to be very effective. So if we say, hey, yes, it's 2,000 calories, but of that 2,000 calories, you want X percent from protein, X percent from carbs, and X percent from fat, then we can start being a little bit more specific and a little bit more fine-tuned to you and what your body needs. So I think that macros are a great, great option for when you get to a point where you feel like your relationship with food is good and solid, where you have maybe less than 40 pounds to lose and you're more so focused on body composition, where you're fine tuning your shape and building muscle and kind of taking your shape to that next level. I think everyone says, you know, oh, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. I think putting it into context of who it's best for and when on the journey is really helpful. So that is macros. And then how would you figure out your own target? So this is where it gets a little more complicated, but I'm going to give you the high level answer. So there are formulas and it's an art and it's a science. There's a lot of things to capture that would determine your specific macros. So there are online calculators that will tell you and spit out some macros for you. So you could play around with that, but I do advise I'd be hesitant because first of all, computers can only collect so much information. And so they're only collecting a little bit of information. And then, as we'll talk about, there's a strategy to using macros and there's a strategy to building your shape. And so it really, again, this is the art part where you want to know that person's story. You want to know what they were eating before, what their goals are. You want to map it out over time. And so an online calculator is just going to spit out one piece of information. And typically, from my experience, they're just going to cut calories and cut your carbs and cut food, which may not be the best. So what I really advise is, especially if it's your first time dabbling in macros, is working with a coach because they're going to know the strategy. They're going to know the formulas. They're going to be able to hear about your story and just dive in to the art side of it too, in addition to the science. Now, I know people are like, okay, but just give me something right now. So I can give some ranges if you think that would be helpful.
I do. I think that would be helpful because as much as I think people like the idea of working with a coach, I feel like they need to know a little bit more in order to understand what it means then to work with a coach.
Yeah. And a lot of people want to dabble at first too. Yeah. I know I did. They're like, okay, let me just download the app and let me just try and see some like what I'm eating and what maybe I should shoot for. And I think that's a great place to start. And so the ranges I'm going to give are going to be specific for someone who is working out. And because yes, macros for everyone are going to be very custom and specific to that person. However, generally, if you are a female who has, like I said, is focused on like changing your body composition and who is working out consistently, these are the general ranges that I typically would see. So for your protein, generally going to be around body weight. So that would be, again, individual to the person. For carbs, this is where it may range a little. I really see anywhere from 150 grams to 300 grams of carbs. I know that is a big range, but let's just say if you have a lot more muscle and a lot more activity, you would be on that higher end. Whereas if you're in the opposite boat, you might be on that lower end. So 150 to 300 grams. And then for fat, typical range may be 65 to 85 grams of fat, maybe a bit lower depending on where we're at in the strategy. But those are good ranges to kind of guesstimate.
Okay. I think that's really helpful. And just for someone that's like, I've never even looked at a macro calculator, what that includes is it's going off of your body's information, right? So it's height, age, weight, activity level, right? And then your goal. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes. Different calculators will have different things, but yeah, they normally take like four or five pieces of information, which, you know, but it's better than nothing, but it's missing a lot more information to really, I think, be more accurate and again, tie it to a strategy.
Absolutely. Okay, perfect. Thank you for explaining that. I want to give a really clear picture for someone that's like, I don't understand where these numbers are coming from and how she's getting them. It is based on your body, your age, your very specific composition. So I know that everybody has different goals, but the majority of people that I talk with, and I know everyone that you work with, is interested in learning how to drop pounds and or how to increase lean muscle and decrease their body fat, right? So educate us on why it's so important to go into a calorie deficit slowly and over the course of 8 to 12 weeks, which is like a typical cut, right?
Yeah. So I think it's important to first zoom out, and going back to that strategy, I say this all the time because it's the number one thing that I know I was missing in when I was plateauing, when I was confused, when I was stuck. I'm like, why? I'm working out. Why do I look like I work out? I didn't know there was a strategy to building muscle and decreasing body fat. And the strategy really ties in with what macros you would be consuming at that time. So just to give everyone, I think to answer this question, but in a way that they also can understand it and really take it away, is to understand the nutrition strategy. So you don't want to be in a calorie deficit all of the time. I think that's one thing that people think is like, oh my gosh, I just need to eat less and eat less and eat less. I need to eat 1200 calories, zero carbs, and just decrease. And you also don't want to not consider these different goals that you have. So for example, if you really are focused on strength training and building muscle, and you're in the gym and that's the phase that you're in and you're trying to hit PRs, but you're also really in a calorie deficit and focus on decreasing your calories, it's going to be more difficult to build muscle if you don't have the nutrients to build muscle. So again, going back to the strategy. So I'm just going to quickly at a high level go over the strategy and then break it down into timing, because I think that will answer both questions. So the nutrition strategy has three steps. The first step is to eat enough. The second step is to align your training with your nutrition. And then the third step and last step is to enter into a calorie deficit. So the first step, eat enough. I know everyone's like, wait, what is enough? What does that mean?
Yes.
So going back to the calories of what you need. So what does that mean? It's how many calories are you burning per day? Most ladies who are working out or lifting weights consistently, even for an hour, 4 days a week, they are burning 2000 calories per day or more, right? So people don't realize that, or that they could even consume that much. But the first step is to slowly and steadily work up to that amount. So I know people are thinking like, but why would I do that? Would I gain body fat? And the reason why you would want to do it is because one, eating more increases your metabolism. Two, eating more, it's the literal building blocks that go into your system and go into that muscle to build back bigger and stronger. So it allows you to build muscle better, gives you more energy just throughout your day. I've had people be like, oh, I don't need coffee anymore. I don't have that afternoon nap. I can like run errands after work and feel good. Like it gives you energy to feel good. And it supports your hormones. So again, it's the building blocks that's going to go in to help balance and support hormones. So that all of those reasons, and the best one is when you are eating enough and eating more, you have so much more food freedom and flexibility, where it's not the constant thought of like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have that, or oh my gosh, I really want oatmeal for breakfast, but I really shouldn't have these carbs. It's almost the opposite, where you're like, no, I need this food to fuel myself. So it just gives you a lot more flexibility. So
while you're on that, how many weeks approximately is this phase that people go through where they're building up to eating enough before they go into their calorie deficit?
Yeah. So typically I have my ladies do this over a period of about 8 weeks, about 2 months. But of course, the longer you're in this phase, the more you are in a better position to build muscle and then therefore go into a calorie deficit phase. So for example, if you're only eating 1400 calories right now, and then you've got to go into a calorie deficit, right? That means you have to decrease from that 1400 calories. Then you go down to 1100, 1000 calories per day. Like you'll be starving, hangry, you'll have lots of cravings, and then you'll beat yourself up that you don't have enough willpower to be consistent. But really your body is just like, no, I cannot operate of this low of calories.
I think that's such a good point that you made. And that's the piece I think that people don't understand is like, they think they just need to eat less. And it's like, well, if you're already not eating enough, eating less, you're going to wither away and you won't exist. Like you can't operate.
Yeah. Just from like a daily energy of getting your life done and not being miserable, for sure. And so I really recommend 2 months, I would say minimum. I know a lot of people are eager to decrease body fat. So I totally get that. So 8 weeks is a good point there. But at the same time, I want to emphasize that in this phase, it's not like, oh, I'm eating more, I'm going to gain body fat. If anything, I see more of the opposite. Because when you do it in a slow and strategic way, meaning every other week, based on how your body's responding, you would increase 100 calories. And the macros, again, would be based off your starting point and then what your ideal targets were. And you slowly increase over time. It allows your metabolism to adjust. And when you consistently give your body more food that it needs, it's saying, hey, she's finally giving me the nutrients that I need. I can start using this. I can increase my metabolism to use this. So typically during this phase, I see ladies build muscle. I see people like tighten up, like everything looks lifted, right? Longer and leaner and lifted. I don't see ladies put on body fat because we're doing it in a very slow and strategic way. So I just have to emphasize that because I know people are thinking that.
So do most of your ladies, do you ask them to track before they even start with you? So you know exactly where they're at with calories. What if they are eating 2000 calories a day, but it's not the right macros? Like, do you keep the calories at 2000 and then adjust their macros appropriately? Or would it then be appropriate for someone that is eating 2000 calories before they get started, like to just go straight into a deficit?
Yeah. So I think it depends exactly what you've said. I kind of do a review and say, okay, they're eating enough, so we're good there, but let's look at the macros. Are the macros set up to be really beneficial to get them the types of fuel that they need before we go into the deficit phase? So there's that I look at. I also look at, we're kind of getting more fine-tuned, but like their daily structure, how are they optimizing nutrition around their workouts? Like, where else can we optimize or we'd like to optimize before going into the deficit? But if someone has checked all of the box and they're already doing this, then they've already done step one, right? And then we can move into the next steps. So yeah, it's not like you have to do step one again if you're already doing it on your own. Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So step two, I'll just briefly cover because it is align your training with your nutrition. So the two things that I just like to emphasize here is being on a progressive overload training program. So many want to build muscle, but they're using the same weights all year round, or they're not tracking their weights. So they don't even know if they're progressing. And that is how you build muscle. So we want to make sure you're creating that stimulus to build muscle. And then, like I mentioned before, is just considering your training with your nutrition. So let's say you have a race coming up. Let's say you're going to do a half marathon, right? We may not want to go into a calorie deficit during the final few weeks of your training in during that race if we want to focus on performance there. So we may just adjust the strategy in the timeline before that race to make sure, okay, is she fueled, right? Are we considering her performance? Are we considering her strength or muscle goals? So it's kind of considering everything there. So that's the note on step two, aligning your training with your nutrition. And then everyone's favorite, step three, entering into a calorie deficit phase. So I think the main thing to call out is when you've done step one and two, you've really primed your body to go into the calorie deficit phase and it work way more effectively. So do you want me to go into the details? I know I can just keep going, so I'll have you ask questions.
I want to hear it. I mean, I think this is I'm hanging on like the edge of my seat, actually, because even though I know this, I love hearing you talk about it because you explain it so well. So yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. So step three, enter into a calorie deficit. So I'm just going to give you an example. So that way you can see maybe what I typically see with ladies who are working out and lifting. They may come to me and they're like, I'm eating enough. I'm eating 1600 calories. And I'm like, okay, that's not bad, but let's increase that to what you're actually burning per day. And they experience all those benefits that I've talked about. Many of them, you know, they work up to 2000 or maybe 2200 calories and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm never going back to the low calorie life after this calorie deficit. So you have 2 months of that and then you go into the calorie deficit phase. Really, that is just a bigger drop in calories, anywhere from 300 to 500 calories. So let's say someone works up to 2200 calories, then they can go into the calorie deficit phase at 1700, which, mind you, might be more than what they were eating before. So they were eating that before, not making changes, or they were eating, let's say, that 1600 calories before, not making changes. And now they work their way up to 2200, they decrease to 1700, and now they're decreasing body fat at 1700. But they still have enough food to fuel the workouts. They still have enough food to be not feel hangry and not have cravings. And it just puts them in a really good position. So,
and sorry, okay. I just want to really quick before you move on, they start their calorie deficit at 1700 or they're going from 2200 to 1700 or over the course of how long?
Good question. So it's just one quick drop. So you want to think of it as on the way up, we want your metabolism to adapt, right? So we're going slow. We want your metabolism to adapt. But then in the calorie deficit phase, we do one big drop because we don't want your metabolism to adapt. We still want it burning at that 2200. And we want it to say, oh, hey, we're only going to give you 1700 though. You've got to find the rest of that fuel. And we want you to find it from body fat. So we want you to pull the rest of that fuel from body fat. So it's a kind of a way to manipulate the body but using our natural systems to be able to have our body decrease body fat. So no, it's just one big drop. And then of course, you know, there may be some tweaks along the way or down the road, you know, after a while, which we'll get into, but typically to start with one big drop, and I say big, 300 to 500 calories. And of course that would break down into macros. So typically that's going to be a decrease from fats and maybe some from carbs too.
So what is an example of a good amount of weight loss to expect every week in a calorie deficit?
Yeah. So first, two things that I want to mention is how long is the calorie deficit phase? Because it doesn't end there. So the calorie deficit phase for females, I would suggest anywhere from 8 to 12 weeks. And you get in, you get the job done, and then you get out. You do not stay in a calorie deficit phase forever. You then repeat the strategy. So you go back then to step one after those 8 to 12 weeks to step one of eating enough, where you slowly and steadily increase your intake up. A lot of people know it as the reverse diet. So it's really important that you just don't stay there, because then if you stay at that 1700 calories, right, then you're just putting yourself in that same position you were in before of not eating enough, where you don't have the fuel, you don't have the leverage to decrease body fat, and you may have plateaued, you don't have as much energy, all of that. So we can get into what that looks like after, but I just wanted to share that part of it. So that's how long the calorie deficit phase would be. And then as far as expectations, again, for females who have less than 40 pounds to lose, maybe you're just focused on, you know, body composition changes, 5 pounds to up to 40, about a third of a pound to a pound per week. The less body fat you have to lose, that might be a little smaller. That could even be a half a pound if you're already fairly lean. But I'd like to see typically half a pound to a pound per week. And again, I think people think, oh my gosh, the faster I lose, the better. But that's not the case, because if you are losing too quickly, meaning your calories are too low, then your body's going to say, okay, I got to pull that fuel from somewhere. And if they can't get to fat quick enough, they may pull some from fat. They're going to say, what's a better source that I can quickly pull from to get me quicker energy? And you could potentially be pulling from your muscle, because your body will go in and say, okay, I'm going to break down this protein to be used as fuel. So I think it's just want to call out that it's not a race to just drop as quickly as you can. You want to be strategic with that too.
I'm really glad that you pointed that out, because I'm having multiple conversations right now with friends that are coming to me about their macros, and they're like, I used to be able to like drop 5 pounds in a week. And well, you know, I'm like, there are so many different circumstances that change in our bodies over time with like age, activity level, hormones, right? Like there's so much that goes into it. So I'm really glad that you're calling out that it is a absolutely normal pace to lose a half a pound a week. That's perfectly healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, back in the day, we've all done some diet where you lose a lot more than that in a week, but you could just be losing from muscle, right? And, you know, a decent amount from muscle. So at the end of the day, it's like, oh, sure, the scale's going down, but are you actually improving your physique? No. Mm-hmm. So that's something to consider. And then especially when we're going to talk about two scale fluctuations and water weight and that changes, those changes too. But I think the main point is I have ladies who are like, okay, I'm in the calorie deficit phase. My targets are 1700 calories, but what happens if I just eat less than that? You know, what if, is it okay if I just eat less than that? And I'm like, well, no, you still want to hit your targets, because there's a strategy here and it's intentional. And the goal isn't to just drop as quickly as we can. We want to be strategic about it.
And how would you explain the fat loss process when people are not experiencing a downward trend on the scale? What happens when the scale fluctuates or they plateau? What is going on in the body?
Yes, such a good question, because this happens, I wouldn't say to everyone, but it's, again, it's the art and the science. So for example, I'm in a calorie deficit phase right now. I just started, so I'm 3 weeks in. And this week, I haven't seen any movement. So I think a lot on the scale, right? I haven't seen any movement on the scale. So I think this is where a lot of people would be like, oh my gosh, it's not working anymore. I plateaued. Do I change things? Do I not? Do I, like, what's not working? What am I doing wrong? And so because I have the knowledge behind it, right, that I know that you want to wait a week, right, to assess your trends. This is why I think daily weigh-ins are important during this time frame, because the scale is going to change every single day based on so many factors. If you get less sleep, the scale will be up. If you're higher stress, the scale will be up. If you're dehydrated, the scale will be down. If you have inflammatory foods from eating out, even if it's a healthier restaurant, typically they're still going to use inflammatory oils, and then the scale is going to be up the next day. All of that's going to be temporary weight changes from water retention and inflammation. Perfect example is if you train hard, if you go to the gym and you work out really hard and you are building muscle, your muscle is going to go through the process of, for lack of a better term, breaking down and building back stronger. That's going to cause inflammation at that site of the muscle, which inflammation is going to show up as weight on the scale. So you might be like, wait a minute, I worked out so hard yesterday. Why is the scale up today? And that actually could be a good thing, because you're doing what you want to, building muscle.
I just experienced that where I could feel, it's really crazy when you start this journey of becoming really aware of like the data you're collecting from the scale and the way that you feel from eating certain foods. Because I knew, like, going to bed after a workout, I was like, I feel shot. Like I could feel swollen already before I even went to bed. And I was like, I'm expecting the scale actually to go up tomorrow. And sure enough, I was up 0.9 pounds. Like it was so clear, but I didn't panic. I was like, this is, and I could feel it the next day. I was like, I just feel like my central nervous system is a little bit hit. I feel kind of swollen. Like this is a rest day. I don't wear an Oura ring, but if I did, I think it would tell me, Aisha, sit the F down. It would be like, you are doing zero movement today. Yeah. But it was really cool that I could just use my I could listen to my body and understand what was going on, like on the scale, and not freak out. Cause I think stepping on the scale every day could cause some issues for people that are used to what weight loss should look like, right? Like they get really fixed on a number. And I think it's what I've heard you mention before that I think is so helpful. I want to reiterate is that through this process of priming your body and then deficit and then reverse dieting is that all of it is collecting data. Just detach yourself from what it is going to mean in terms of what you look like or what the scale says, and just see it for like numbers. All it is like numbers, right? You don't need to become obsessed about it. They're there to tell you information about your body. It doesn't need to, it has nothing to do with your worth or how beautiful you are. It's literally just a number. So that's something that I want to just say for people that like might go into weighing themselves every day is like, detach yourself from the day to day and look at the whole like 12-week process then and be like, wow, even though I saw some fluctuations up and down, if I zoom out, I'm looking at a downward trend overall.
For those who embrace the impossible, the Defender 110 is up for the adventure. This iconic vehicle has been redefined with thoroughly modern design, both on the interior and exterior, with integrity and robust materials. With added innovations like the intuitive driver display, an award-winning infotainment system, and extra cargo capacity for your gear, the Defender 110 lets you go further and do more. Whether you're a family of two or have added to your gang, your adventures await. The Defender family features the two-door Defender 90, the Defender 110, and the Defender 130, which seats up to 8. Learn more at LandRoverUSA.com/Defender. You may know Cozy Earth from being on Oprah's Favorite Things list, but have you tried it for yourself? If you're into all things comfy, then you have to check out Cozy Earth. I love their bed sheets, but they also make women's loungewear that is crafted from breathable and luxurious materials so you feel comfortable and look cute no matter if you're at work, running errands, or in the comfort of your own home. I'm also in love with the waffle texture robe. It's like a hotel experience, but at home. Cozy Earth provided an exclusive offer for my listeners today. You can get 35% off site-wide when you use the code MindsetMile at CozyEarth.com. Something I learned recently that blew my mind is that the indoor air we breathe is 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases, up to 100 times more polluted, according to the EPA. And air pollution is responsible for nearly 7 million premature deaths globally. We've personally been using an air purifier in our home for a few years, but I haven't appreciated how much work it was doing until now. The Air Doctor is an air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so that your lungs don't have to. This includes pollutants such as allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mite, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses that make you sick. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day breathe easy money back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus the shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code MindsetMile to receive up to $300 off air purifiers. And exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Go get your Air Doctor purifier today at Air Doctor Pro. That's AirDoctorPro.com and use code MindsetMile.
Yes, this is such a good point because we are never taught this, right? We are only taught if the scale's down, good. If it's up, bad. And so, of course, we're going to have this negative reaction to the scale and it may make us feel defeated all day or become obsessed with it and all of that. And so this is why I emphasize so much on learning and teaching and the science behind it, because that's how you really become in tune with your body when you realize that it's science and it's math and science and you can make sense of it. So I loved your example because At first, you probably would get on the scale and have that negative reaction. Then you learn a little bit more and you get on the scale and you're like, wait a minute. And this is what I teach with my ladies. And it's like, wait a minute, what happened in the past 24 to 48 hours that would influence the scale? But and not just think about the scale, think about my body, right? What would cause my body to hold on to water or inflammation or vice versa, right? So that's kind of the next progression. And then after that, I can already see that you're going a step further where even before you step on the scale, you know, in your body, you're like, wait a minute, had a hard workout. I can feel swollen and inflamed from that. I probably the scale is going to be up, right? And when you get to that point, you are so in tune with your body and you have so much knowledge to know what's going on that it's a completely different experience because it's coming from information, knowledge, and control and kind of in tune with your machine, right? Your body versus guilt and what's going on in confusion and all of that. So I think that's a fantastic point because I see that time and time again with my ladies, how much the relationship improves with their body when they understand the science behind it.
Yeah, I think it's so empowering. I love it. I'm obsessed with everything. I feel like everyone needs to do this.
Totally. It's and especially so as females, because we have cycles, right? Mm-hmm. We have menstrual cycles. And that in itself, as estrogen changes throughout our cycles, estrogen is known to hold on to more water. So whether it's in your lower belly or just all over your body at certain times during your cycle, you might physically feel that, but that may also show up on the scale. And again, I think it's important to call out that these are temporary water retention and inflammation changes versus that is going to be different than decreasing body fat. So in the background, you still may be decreasing body fat. And technically, if you removed everything else, if we could just look at body fat per day, that may still be going down. But if it's offset by this water retention from your cycle or from eating out or something like that, the scale isn't going to reflect that. So you're going to feel really confused and upset and it's not working, but it may be still working. It's just being offset by some of these factors.
So good. So good. Okay. So we started talking about reverse dieting. So after a cut, explain the reverse diet. How does that work?
So after the calorie deficit phase, like I mentioned, you don't stay in there forever. Just want to emphasize that. You get in, you get the job done, and you get out after 8 to 12 weeks. So from there, you kind of just repeat the nutrition strategy because you're at that starting point again where you may be at 1,400, 1,600, 1,700 calories, and you want to, again, step one, eat enough. So it's going to look like a 100 calorie increase maybe over every week, every other week. Typically, I find that once my ladies go through the strategy once, their body is already used to getting more food. And so they can more quickly increase their food the next time. And after they experience the benefits of eating enough and they're not afraid of carbs anymore, all of that, they're like ready to eat more. So I find that once you go through it once, you can build up quicker. But yeah, then you'll build up to that what you're burning per day, whether 2,000 calories or 2,200 calories. So that's the reverse diet explained. But I know people have questions.
Yes. And I think one of those questions, the elephant in the room, is how does it work for you to be consuming upwards of 400 to 500 more calories in a reverse diet and or maintenance phase while not adding weight or body fat back?
Yeah, good question. So kind of think of your body and think of the extra fat as like a savings account, right? So when you go into that calorie deficit, you're pulling from the savings account, right? But then when you reverse back up, you're getting more money, but your metabolism is also increasing, right? To adjust for how much money that you are getting. So again, this is when you do it in a slow and steady way. And so you're getting that money and you're spending it. You're not putting it back into your savings account, or AKA you're not putting back back body fat on. So as you slowly and steadily increase, so is your metabolism is slow and steady increasing. So you're utilizing that food. So you shouldn't put on, you shouldn't be, it's not like you lose weight and you put it back on. You've now created this new shape and this new body fat percentage. And then you're just slowly working your way back up to that, you know, 2000, whatever it is for you, 2200 calories. And you'll, your body composition should stay the same, right? If anything, it may even improve because now you're getting more fuel to build muscle if you are working out and training. So this is the beauty of it, because then now you've changed your body composition, but you've worked your intake back up. You're eating enough now with this new body composition. And then you can just stay there. You can just maintain and be like, okay, I'm just going to stay here, feel great, look great. And I'm finally fueled and I'm, you know, have more flexibility with my food. I have more energy. My hormones are supported. My training feels good. You could do that. Or you could repeat the nutrition strategy and say, oh, I want to build muscle. So let me focus on that. Or I want to decrease even more body fat. Let me then, you know, after those 2 months, then go into a calorie deficit phase again. So it just gives you so much leverage and so many options while also being well-fueled and feeling good and looking good.
I love that. I love the way that you explained it in the savings account. I was like picturing literally like coins going into a money bag. I was like, oh yeah, this is making sense. I get this. Something that I wanted to ask you, and I think this probably is going a little bit backwards to a plateau in like a cut, but I really wanted to ask this because it's something that we were even talking about when I was with you a couple weeks ago, is let's say someone does go a week where the scale hasn't changed and they're in a cut. Mm-hmm. What are some ways in which you coach your ladies to get that metabolism burning again, besides what people think they need to do is dropping more food or more calories?
Yeah. So there's a handful of different ways to approach it. And again, this work kind of gets individualized and we get into the details, but a few examples would be like, okay, we see the person not moving, right? They have no sleep cycle. Like we go through all that checklist and it's like, no, we need to make a change. Then the change would be to create a bigger calorie deficit. Yes. One way to do that would be to decrease calories by, I typically do like 100 calories per day from wherever they're out, wherever they are, to kind of boost that fat loss again. However, there are so many different ways that you can create that 100 calorie additional deficit. And so instead we may look at, because kind of zooming out for a second, the goal is to eat as much food as you can while still achieving the results that we want to get. So the goal isn't to get down to 1100 calories or 1000 calories. And we also want to support, a lot of ladies are working out training, they might be doing CrossFit or running or different things like that. We want to make sure that they're still fueling that. So considering all these different goals, if the person's like, I'm not hungry at all, it'd be like, okay, well, maybe it is easiest to just pull from food. But if the person's like, I'm getting a pinch of hunger, we might want to look at and say, okay, maybe on your training days, we keep food as is to support those trainings when you are burning more calories. And then on your non-training days, we pull food from those days. So that'd be one option. Another option may be, oh, okay, let's look at carb cycling. And it's, again, just a more of a fine-tuned way to manipulate your body in a good way, right? And increase carbs one day and go medium the next day and low the next day. That's another tool that we might use. Or potentially adding cardio in where, okay, after, you know, four of your workouts, let's add in 10 minutes on the Stairmaster or 20 minutes on the Stairmaster to create that 100 calorie deficit. But you can look at all this and you can see that adding cardio is going to be a lot more time and energy than just reducing, you know, a portion of your rice or something like that. So I also consider, you know, well, if the person has family and kids and they are, you know, got a career and all of these things, what makes sense here? What's going to be the easiest for them? But again, I'm just going through different options to give people ideas of what else could be done and what we could play with. I think there might even been some others that we discussed too. There's so many options there.
No, those were great. And I don't think that this is, these are tools that anyone probably listening that wants to just learn about macros knows how to do on their own. I wanted to hear you explain what it's like to work with a coach that knows like the different approaches and what those look like. I want to ask you about carb cycling can you explain a little bit more? It's day by day. Like, is it every 3 days? Is it every week? What does that look like?
Yeah. So again, this could be like a handful of different ways. Two that I generally use is I might just do a carb up. So that's another one, I guess, that's a little different than carb cycling, where I might just do a carb up, where one day out of the week, we may just increase by 25 grams of carbs. And that may be on a training day, and it may be focused on starchy carbs spread throughout the day. So that may be just increasing a little bit of oatmeal in the morning and increasing a little bit of rice at lunch and increasing a little bit of potatoes at dinner. But again, it kind of tricks the body into saying, oh, she's giving me more food. I'm going to rev up a little. And then the next day going back down to what you were eating before. So again, it's kind of gives the metabolism a little bit of a bump. So that's one option that I do depending on certain symptoms that I'm seeing. And then the next would be the carb cycling. And so that would look like the higher carbs typically on a training day, but it may not line up perfectly, and that's okay. So that might look like 25 grams of extra carbs on your training day, and then the same targets on your on day two of the carb cycle, and then day three might be 25 grams less, right? So you're creating this kind of change. It's kind of like a little throwing off your metabolism, but in a very strategic way. This is not to say like just randomly change all your macros, right? It's done very strategically. Yeah. And even sometimes we may even go a little bit lower on the low carb day to again create that calorie deficit. But the intention is you want to keep as much food in as you can while still getting the results that you want, because that's what's going to be, the longer you're in the calorie deficit phase, right? After I would say a month, 2 months, that, 6 to 8 week time frame when you're in the calorie deficit, that's when typically I see your metabolism starts to be a little suppressed, because it's like, wait a minute, she's doing that thing again where she's feeding me less. Let's kind of like suppress a little bit here. And so that may be the time where you notice that plateau, and we've got to add in an adjustment, right? And it could just be down calories, but again, we want to look at the person to see what's going to be best for them to still make sure they're well fueled.
I love it. You're so meticulous. And I love how, yes, I feel like you have eyes everywhere on someone's macros, which makes it so cool. Okay. And so transitioning from tracking macros, like full on, very meticulous, like never missing a day, like always being within 3 to 5 grams of all your targets, what are your biggest tips for making tracking macros into a lifestyle by being able to guesstimate or then eat intuitively?
Yes, I love this. This is one of my favorite questions because I feel like it's not talked about enough. And especially for a lot of ladies I work with, and I'm assuming who listen to this podcast are probably very high achievers, maybe overachievers, where I'm like, okay, I'm going to track macros and I'm going to do it down to the gram and all in. And again, this is where I really like to emphasize the science behind it, because we will do everything, right? But is it really necessary, right? And at what times is it not necessary to be that perfect, to make it more of a lifestyle, to be more consistent and more relaxing? So going back to the strategy, the first phase of eating enough, you do not have to be as precise. I actually encourage my ladies, like, yeah, let's actually not hit macros perfectly 7 days out of the week. Let's do 5 to 6. And this is also a perfect time to really practice guesstimating macros and not relying just on the app or a food scale, right? Because if you think about it, macros is just food, right? It just represents food. And so we can just learn, and there's categories to it. So if we just learn the categories, we can be pretty close to guesstimating. So let me give you an example. Protein. Any source of protein, so your fish, your meats, your chicken, your steak, your, think that's a lot of them, it covers them. So any source of protein on average, I'd say primary source of protein on average, one hand size. So if you just take your whole entire hand and put it next to your plate, one hand size on average is going to be about 30 grams of protein. So for example, let's say you need, for easy math, you need 120 grams of protein per day. Well, if you know that you're eating four times a day, you have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then your snack, you're getting your post-workout protein shake in, right? Then you know, without even tracking, without even looking at an app, without even looking at a food scale, that each meal needs to have about the size of your hand on your plate. So even without tracking, you could still be pretty close to hitting your macros, right? So I feel like during the eating enough time, the step one, this is a really good time to practice that and to learn that. But really with the goal of after the calorie deficit phase, right? With the calorie deficit phase, you do have to be more precise and more accurate. But after the calorie deficit phase is to go back into that eating enough time frame or step one, where I really consider like that's a lifestyle part. That's where you have more flexibility and to utilize these hand estimates, which you can do a similar approach with carbs and fat, to go out in the world, go out to dinner, go out for lunch, go to your friend's baby shower, and enjoy yourself and just know food versus, wait, what does the app tell me that I can have? And instead, I really encourage people to flip that to understand food, to be like, well, wait, I think I can have this based on my hand estimate. Yeah, that will fit. That works. And then if they want to use the app to double check or to learn, that's where the app comes in.
I love it. And one last question I guess I want to ask is, what do you tell your ladies or even just your friends or conversations that you have with people that are like, oh, I just blew it one day, you know, like they just know that they went like way over. What is one day or even a couple days of just going like off? What does that do?
Yeah. So first I always question, I'm like, let's actually quantify that, because it probably feels really bad and you feel off and you feel guilty, but what actually happened? Like let's your emotions are definitely valid, but let's just put that aside for a second and just look at the data and the facts. Typically when people do that and they go back and they either again guesstimate and be like, well, I had a bag of Skittles and that was 40 grams of carbs about, and so I was over by 40 grams of carbs. I'm like, okay, great. Now we can actually talk through what that actually means, because a lot of times our emotions will blow it way out of proportion. So that's the first thing to look at and double check. The second thing is you are your average from a math standpoint. You are your average. So I'm not saying like, oh, it's okay, just, you know, float around and you're your average. No, like you can do the math. Right? Like if we go back, right, it takes, if you decrease 1 pound per week, right? And 1 pound, this, we're kind of getting into it, but 1 pound is 3,500 calories. So 1 pound of body fat is a 3,500 calorie difference. So if you do 3,500 calories divided by 7, that's 500 calorie deficit per day. So let's say you overate one day, and we were able to quantify it and or even guesstimate, right? Oh, I overate by 200 calories. Oh my gosh, I blew it. And it's like, oh, actually, if we do the math, right, 200 calories divided by 3,500, I don't know what math that is. That's probably 5%. So I'm like, oh, okay, you maybe didn't lose 0.005 pounds from that. So it's like, oh, wait a minute. That really does not matter. And it's really okay. So again, quantifying it, but to summarize it, if you're not as much of a math person, is to be like, oh yeah, I could have you know, my perfect example, one of my clients was like, oh, my kid's birthday, we're actually doing a whole weekend event for it. I've got the favorite cake. It's my favorite cake too. And I'm like, great. What do you want to do? And she's like, I'd really like to enjoy it. And I'm like, okay, let's enjoy it. And just decide for 3 days, you're not going to make progress. And for 3 days, you know, if the typically over a week, again, if you lose 1 pound per week, in 3 days, that might be 0.2 pounds, 0.3 pounds. And she's like, you know what? If I just lose that 0.3 pounds next weekend instead of this weekend, I'm okay with that. And I'm like, yes, totally. That's it, quantifying it and being like, wait a minute. If I just reach my goal a week later than I originally planned, that won't be the end of the world. I could actually do that. And it's not a problem.
You literally get to have your cake and eat it too.
Yes, exactly. And there was one more thing too, that I want to touch on, going back to the kind of intuitive eating, if we still have time.
Yeah, please.
Okay. So I know we talked about estimating macros, but if I had to say, to share with someone, like, okay, if you're not tracking macros, what are you doing? Right? Not like as in like you should be tracking macros, but like, do you know what to do? And I think everyone should. I think they should have that down first and then just use macros to fine tune. Mm-hmm. And then they can use those foundational tools to still be pretty directional with macros, even if they're not, I put in quotes, tracking macros, right? And that would be having a daily structure and creating your plate. So having your daily structure, going back to how many times am I eating per day? For a lot of people, it's going to be 4 times. I'm going to have my breakfast, my lunch, my snack, and my dinner. So having that consistently day in and in day out makes, one, your life so much easier just for planning, to get the food, to make sure you're getting enough nutrients in consistently throughout the day and not having these huge swings. But it also sets you up to naturally hit macros, because you could just take your macros, right, and divide them by how many times you're eating per day, 4. So again, like that example I shared, if your goal is 120 grams of protein, if you divide that by 4, you know every day you're getting about 30 grams of protein at each meal. It makes it very easy and very consistent without thinking about anything else. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is what I call create your plate at each meal. And create your plate is as simple as getting a protein source at each meal, a vegetable source, and then a starchy carbohydrate source. So that may look like, for dinner, your protein may be your steak, your carbohydrate might be your potatoes, and your vegetable might be your green beans, right? There's 1,000 different ways that you can do this. And I love your well prep, your meal planning system, because it already includes this, right? So it's already very macro friendly and is going to be helpful to hit your macros without even tracking macros, right? Because you have your daily structure, and then you have your meal composition, or what I call create your plate down.
That's exactly why I made Well Prepped, actually, was because I saw this big need where everyone was like asking me, I don't know how to get enough protein. It was always like protein focused, like conversations and questions. And I was like, I do this without even having to think about it, right? So then I was like, I need to just break this down into a system that like anybody can use, which was like to prep once, cook twice, have your meals ready for either lunch or dinner or both all week long. So I'm really glad that you, and I know that you've shared it with your clients. So I'm so grateful that it complements what you're doing. I'm going to leave Well Prepped in the show notes for people that might be like interested in just eating more protein and getting macro friendly with their meals. But tell us where we can find you, Jenny.
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram at Jenny the Nutritionist. I also have a podcast called Create Your Shape with Jenny the Nutritionist, where all of the topics are a lot of things we talked about today, but everything to support the lady who is working out and really wants to look like they work out and understand it and really find their routine with nutrition. So then if you'd like to learn more about my Create Your Shape program, that's how I work with all of my ladies and work with me, you can go to jennythenutritionist.com/create-your-shape.
Did you have anything that you wanted to offer to Mindset Mile listeners today?
Yes, I would love to. So for Mindset Mile listeners, I would love to offer the code for the Create Your Shape program for $300 off using the code MILE300 at checkout. And that code will expire for this group at the end of July. So just make sure to use it before then. But you can use MILE300 at checkout and get the $300 off.
Awesome. I hope some people take advantage of that because you are a wealth of knowledge, Jenny. It's always a pleasure to talk shop with you. I just adore you so much. I love what you're doing and serving people with in the world. So thank you for being such a light and sharing everything that you know with us about nutrition.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I know we could talk about this for hours. So I enjoy these conversations. And I hope everyone learned a lot and happy macro tracking.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Jenny. And I can't wait to see you next week, friend. Until then, make it a great day.